Okay. Well, good evening. How are we doing tonight? If you need one, we got some more here. All right, so we're going to look at the last lesson here, I believe. Journey into stress-free living. Are we stress-free yet? I'm going to say, I think I need to go through this book again. It didn't all take the first time. Okay, enjoying the rest of your life. Lesson number 13. Okay. And for those at home or listening in, starting a new book. I don't know if you can see that. Does that show up over there? Probably not. It's going to be a journey into knowing God. And we have done this, what was it, 11 years ago or something anyway. But it's revised. It is different than the other book. But it's going to be looking at the various names of God. You know, it's not like, well, at some point, people name their kids for a particular reason and so on. But other times it was just because they like the sound of it. It goes good with the last name or whatever. These particular names of God tell us something about Him. And it's all good. So that'll be an uplifting book for you to look at. So, and we'll be starting that, Lord willing, next Wednesday. So, all right. I don't know if Margie's home yet, but she's made it through surgery and got a real zinger of a headache. And I don't know if that's from no coffee all day or... or with the medicine they gave her. And she's went through her physical therapy thing. Said she passed out with flying colors. Of course, she's numb, you know. So when that wears off, she might not be feeling quite so great. So might pray for her when you go night-night tonight. That stuff will be wearing off here for long. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for the study that You've provided for us to look at. It may not have solved all our problems yet, but maybe we need to go back and think through some of these things and get a better grasp of how we can lessen the stress in our lives. It's not just going to go away just because we read a book. We do pray that You might help us to put into practice some of the ideas that were shared. Ask as we look at this portion of Scripture here tonight, that, again, might be a blessing to us. We do pray for Margie as she's probably heading home or maybe at home by now. And we do pray that You might ease the pain when the meds wear off and that You will guard her against infections or other potential problems there, help her to get some rest tonight. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so enjoying the rest of your life. If we had lots of time, we could go around the room and say, okay, if it's time to dream, you know, what would you... you'd have to have a small bucket. We couldn't have everybody sharing all that's in their bucket. I haven't found my bucket yet. To have a bucket list of all things you want to do or whatever while you're still around. But anyway, if we're going to enjoy the rest of our life, there's some things that would be good for us to do and to consider and to learn, okay? And the first thing that we touched on, a little bit of review here, was to learn to be content. Well, that's a big one, isn't it? That sometimes takes a lifetime to learn. But it's a learning curve, okay? You don't just wake up some morning and say, whew, that was awesome. I just love everybody and everything. I don't ever want another thing. Forget Christmas, anniversaries. Oh, better not forget that one. birthdays and Christmas. Learn to be content. You know, be thankful for what you already have. And, you know, instead of always wanting something more, or something new, different. And, like I say, it's a learning thing. We see this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again, whereas you were also careful but lacked opportunity. Okay, so the Philippian believers had been helping to supply some of Paul's needs. There was a bit of a gap in there. He's not complaining, but he's thankful that they're now able to do that again. And he says there in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want or that he has some particular need. He says, for I have learned. Okay. If you mark your Bible, you might want to underline learned. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So whether if you got a lot, learn to be content with that. If you got a little, learn to be content with that. You know, and again, well, I've shared some of this before, but not everybody here listening knows. The lottery, some of that stuff, all those buy this card and that card and scratch off, and that's preying on people that aren't content with what you got, thinking, boy, if I just could win this, my troubles would be over. And we've discussed that, and that comes a little bit later, but those people, if you were to interview some of those that won, they're not any more happy than they were before. In fact, a lot of them are in worse shape. Either they lost it all, spent it all. Everybody's mad at them because they didn't get as much. So he says, how do we learn to be content? Well, one of the things was to stop comparing. Okay, folks, there's always going to be somebody, whether it's your brother or your sister or the neighbor or whoever, somebody's going to have something you don't have. It's going to be bigger, better, faster, louder, quieter, whatever it is that you want. And we think, oh, if I just had one of those, you know. Remember, he said there in 2 Corinthians 10:12, talking about comparing themselves among themselves, those people are not wise. Okay? You're just kind of setting yourself up for discouragement because there's, again, somebody's always going to have a faster computer, a bigger TV. Somebody told me the other day, oh, yeah, I went out and I bought a 65-inch TV. Now, I'm not knocking if that's what you got, but that's one of those that you can walk up to and shake that guy's hand that just made the touchdown because he's as big as you are, you know? And it didn't work. But he got it back, got another one. That didn't work either. But, yeah. So stop comparing. Stop obsessing about having more, okay? More is not always better. You know, you got people with a lot, and they're just worrying about somebody's going to take it away from them, okay? They're not sleeping any better than you are. And then accept change. Is there changes that have happened here lately that you're not terribly excited about? One that kind of bugged me, and everybody's got their different bug level, but when they, and maybe it's just our bank, but you used to be able to pull up, and the teller's standing there, you know, and I realize they're talking through a microphone or something at you, but no, they got to cover that all up now. And now you look at somebody that's looking into a little camera, and you get a screen out there to look at. And every once in a while you get one that's talking to you, and she's got one of these metal things in her tongue, and that's what you're seeing. But things change, and you got to kind of adapt with it, all right? Things are not, it's not going to stay Little House on the Prairie, all right? And that's fine, because remember, if you miss the Stagecoach, no problem. There's another one coming next week, all right? And we, you know, we want to be there now. So, yeah, we got to accept some changes along the way. And they aren't going to wait for us. Okay, remember the trauma you went through when you went from a flip phone to one of these? I mean, that's a learning curve. Or you went from one kind of Windows to the next step up, and where's all my buttons? How do I turn this thing on? How do I shut it off? You know? But life's not always going to stay the same for us. You know? I mean, for Paul, things didn't always stay the same for him. He went from one prison to another. Got beat up, stoned one place, went on to the next. And he was probably thankful for the times that he was able to go into a city and preach a while before he got driven out of town. Well, let's look at another thing, too. So not only do we need to learn to be content, we need to learn to lean on God's power. There's probably things that we'd like to see changed in our life that we don't have the power to change it. Okay? It doesn't matter how many volts or amps or anything else you hook up to it, it's not going to change. It may not always. Well, what's a good thing about leaning on God's power as opposed to ours?
He's all power.
Okay, yeah, he's not the 95-pound weakling that got sand kicked in his face. Okay, he's got power, and he's going to use it in the right way. Sometimes people have. I mean, you still see articles talking about bullies at school, you know. Somebody's bigger, stronger than somebody else, and they're beating up on the little kids, taking their lunch money or whatever. But God's going to do the right thing with his power. He's not going to abuse it. And God wants us to be dependent. You know, have our kids grow up to be independent, to be able to function on their own, all right? But God's not saying, I want that, you know, that you get to 21, you're on your own, I don't want to hear from you again. Don't be calling me and asking for money or whatever, you know. No, he wants us, as our Heavenly Father, to realize how dependent we are. There's a lot of things that we have to depend on God for to do supernaturally, you know. Whether it's physical healing, mental healing, solving problems in your home or loved ones, other things. My magic wand, the battery's dead, okay? I don't have a magic wand to wave and solve everybody's problems, all right? But we can talk together to our Heavenly Father who's able and capable of meeting those needs. And that's why he reminds us there. He says there in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay? It doesn't say I can do all things, right? We're not Superman, Superwoman, or anybody else. Any power we get comes from the Lord. And he's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us the energy to do things that maybe we didn't have the energy or the motivation to do. Maybe there's some changes that we need to do in our life and we're just not feeling up to it, but we know we need to do it. And so we can pray and ask the Lord to help us. He tells, and this is a verse that I often read to people that are in the hospital, because it seems to be often appropriate. But the one you find there in Isaiah 40:29, he giveth power to the faint, and that's usually whoever's in the bed, to them that have no might, he increases strength, and then he goes on and on, okay? But God's able to infuse strength in us when we don't think we've got enough of our own, or we just kind of feel like somebody pulled the plug on us, and he's able to give you that strength. And I'm thinking maybe there are times in our lives, you know, different events that just kind of take the wind out of our sails, all right? Maybe it's a close family member that dies, and you're left with the responsibility of planning the funeral or getting their finance stuff together or paying the bills or selling the house or, I mean, you know what it's like. And if it gets dropped on your lap and you just kind of, you don't know where to start. And God can give us the strength to get in there and do what we need to do, all right? He's able to strengthen us. He's able to make things work that, he mentions here, do you need strength to make your marriage work? You know, you can go to a lot of marriage counselors and they can give you some good advice, but maybe you're not getting cooperation from the other half. You know, they're not all that excited about making it work. But God can work on them and change their hearts and minds. Like you said, help you get out of debt, break a bad habit, and there's all kinds of things that are just seemingly beyond our ability to fix. And that's where God steps in. You know, sometimes he lets us go kind of to the end of our rope when we run out of all our ideas and all our plans and everybody else's bright ideas. And, you know, it's kind of when all else fails, it shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it works out that way. And all else fails, we call on the Lord, you know. And then God gets the glory when things get turned around because we tried all our stuff and it didn't work. So learn to be content. Lean on God's power. We're never going to exhaust him. You probably had people call you up or something and want you to come and help and do something. And you just, I'm not up to that, you know. Come and help me move the pool table out of my basement. No. Let's say it all together now. No. Okay. But, you know, God, not that he's going to turn you into superhuman to get that thing out of there, but he can help us with other things that we need help on. Maybe you chip in and help pay for somebody else to go do it. Okay, third, live generously. Okay, so God blesses us, and it, not just so that we can, I can't remember, how does that little rhyme go? Was it the king in his counting house, counting out his money? You guys remember that one? Okay. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. Yeah, okay, yeah. Maybe that was my English grandma telling me this. Or this sounds like something that came from England. But not just so that we can, you know, keep pulling it in, you know, and like some old miser, and we're just seeing what we can accumulate, and, you know, we're always wanting more to hang on to for us. And God says, no, God blesses you. He may want you to use some of that to, in turn, be a blessing to somebody else. You know, we've talked about that before in other aspects, but, you know, today they say, you know, what goes around comes around, okay? You kind of get treated the same way. It may not happen immediately. Bible also talks about what? Reap what you sow. Okay, if you're stingy, you know, don't expect everybody else to be generous with you. If you're generous with them, God may cause other people to be generous towards you. But he says here, there in verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Okay, he's not looking for a big fat check in the mail for himself. You know, but he says, whatever you do for me is ultimately going to end up being fruit for you. You're going to get credit for this, all right? That's not how we get into heaven, you know, is doing stuff for other people. But ultimately, we benefit too. You do something kind for somebody else. what do they talk about that? Pay forward, you know? You do something for somebody else. Pay for the guy's McDonald's behind you, his coffee or something. And yeah, you know, other people can be a blessing to you. He says, Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, back then, fat wasn't a bad word, okay? You know, usually it was, that sounds rotten, but it was usually the rich people were fat because they could afford that. The guy that was poor, he's the one with the sunken eyes. You know? All right. The liberal shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Okay, so I got a couple other verses I wrote down here. Somebody want to look up Malachi 3:10, and I'll look up Acts 20:35. We'll see what we got there. I didn't write out the whole verse. Acts 20:35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay. So it's good to be on the giving end. It's nice, you know, from time to time to be on the receiving end. But, and he talks about, you know, I think it's in this section here, he talks about the two types of people, you know, the givers and the takers. Maybe that's the next section here. But he also talks about being a blessing to other people. And if you're stingy, that's not going to happen. You're going to miss out on the blessing of being a blessing to somebody else. He says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's going to be an abundance, okay, is what he's saying. Okay? And, you know, God is pleased when we're, when he blesses us and we in turn go and seek to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's not just dollars and cents. Talking about your time, your talents, your abilities, your treasures, things that you can share with other people to be a blessing. You know, Mark Mensch, he didn't know I'm going to say this, but talking about his sister-in-law having some plumber come in and charge you an arm and a leg for some little bitty job, you know, and he's willing to come and do that for her for only an arm. No, he'd do it for free. So you want to see what part you can spare before you ask him to come and fix stuff for you. Yeah, okay. And then the last one here, I'm kind of rushing because we have more to cover this time. The fourth one here is to let God meet your needs. Okay? Lord, he's standing there, willing, ready to help meet our needs. And yet, he also wants us to be willing to ask, to acknowledge that we have needs and to ask him. But he tells us there in, these are verses you want to hang on to. Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply, what? All your needs. Okay, didn't say all your wants, or as he says here, all your greeds. Okay. But everything that you really need, and you know, we need food, clothing, shelter, okay? Maybe not the, well, I'll leave it at that. He's to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? God's got lots of riches. He got storehouses full of stuff, all right, that he wants to give to us. He wants to supply our needs, but he also wants us to be willing to acknowledge that we have need of it and ask him for it, you know. And we also need to be obedient. We need to have confessed any sin in our hearts and lives, because that kind of blocks off the prayers. And, you know, he doesn't want to bless a disobedient child. Okay. You know, it's kind of like we're going our own way, do our own thing, don't have much time for God until we want something. It's kind of like the people, the only time you hear from is when they want something, and you're not terribly impressed when you get the phone call. What do they want this time? You know, I hope I'm not one of those, but yeah, we don't want to treat God like that. He's not the savings and loan, you know. We're trying to hit him up for a loan. But he wants to meet our needs, and he's capable of meeting those needs. And he says, as he points out here, my God shall, not maybe or might, but shall supply all your needs. We can count on that. That's a promise we can claim. Now, that doesn't mean that we get our paycheck, we just go out and blow it on silly stuff and saying, oh, well, God's going to take care of me anyway. He's going to pay the rent. He's going to buy the food and pay the doctor bill. No, you give your brain, too. You got to use it wisely. Okay, we're supposed to be good stewards of what God gives us. Okay, we are supposed to use it wisely. Okay, but he says, don't forget where it comes from. You know, you get some people, oh, I worked that, I earned it, that's mine. Yeah, well, who gave you the health and strength to get out of bed in the morning and give you that job? You know, he could cause that job to end tomorrow, all right? Or whatever else that you might be trusting in to think you can make it without him. He also tells us here, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap, or shall bountifully shall reap. And it, you know, it's like I said, if you're generous, I mean, seek to care for other people beside just you and maybe your own immediate family, you know, everybody, yeah, I'm taking care of me, the rest of them, that's their problem, you know. No. Enjoying the rest of your life. And it comes down with coming to that point where we've trusted Christ alone for salvation. You know? Because otherwise, all we're doing is planning for the here and now. That's 80. And what are we going to do about, I'm doing, I don't know, remember now what week it comes out on the radio, but that little track, then what? You know, and it keeps asking, then what, till the guy retires. And, well, I suppose I'll die. Then what? Yeah, well, maybe it's already come through. But it's, yeah, okay, are you planning for eternity? You know, you might think you're set for this life, but this is just a little drop in the bucket compared to what's yet ahead. So we need to be preparing for what's ahead. And one thing he mentions here, too, and our time's about gone here, or is gone. You said God usually meets our needs through other believers. He brings other people into our lives and may use them to help meet our needs. We, in turn, are able to help meet their needs. Okay, may not be at the same point in time, but they may have needs down the road that you can use to help. And so I trust that we might, our time's going, we're going to quit his kind of goodbyes to everybody here, but you've probably filled those blanks in. But the thing is, you know, we could feel sorry for Paul, but Paul wasn't feeling sorry for himself. You know, he's in a Roman jail, or even if he's able to be in a house arrest kind of thing, he blew him where he was playing it. He had guards there all the time. Well, he shared the gospel with these guards. And those guards got saved. And that's why he was saying that, you know, Caesar's house, people in the palace guards came to know Christ because Paul didn't just sit in a corner, suck his thumb, and feel sorry for himself because he was unjustly arrested. No, he tried to make the best of it and sought to be a blessing to these other people. Didn't have any gold, silver, or anything to give to them, but he gave them something better. He gave them the good news about Jesus Christ, and it turns their hearts and lives around. All right, Lord can use us in a similar way. You know, we can make a difference. And we'll see a little bit more of that on Sunday as we see evangelism from Andrew. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. It's kind of flying fast here today, but we pray that we might, again, grasp a hold of some of these verses and be able to claim them for ourselves. You might prompt us to respond accordingly. May your Holy Spirit, again, drive these truths to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.